So I was going to teach a lesson on, but I'll probably teach it on guidance. We taught, I guess, about 8 weeks on guidance, maybe more than that, maybe 10 or 12. Guidance, how to be guided in your life. But I think that one of the most important things in being guided by God is drawing near to God. And the Bible says, draw nigh unto God, he will draw nigh unto you. And I'm not teaching a lesson this morning, but you could understand the voice of God. If Moses wouldn't have went up onto the mount, and when the burning bush appeared and started speaking to him, if he wouldn't have gone to the mount, and he wouldn't have been on the mountain, he wouldn't have heard the voice of God, because God speaking out of that bush. And you always find that the presence of God and being close to the Lord will bring you the voice of God more clearly. And the Bible says the way of the Lord is easy to them that understand. And I illustrate it this way. I listen to the radio a lot of times. I'm driving my car a lot. And I remember one time I was listening to a football game. I was very interested. I was driving to Oregon at the time. And I was fine. As I went down towards Tacoma, I was fine. As I went towards Lakewood, I was fine. As I went by the bases, fine. But then as I kept on driving, it got fuzzier and fuzzier and fuzzier. And you'd start doing all the adjustments. Heater off, that usually gives you a little bit of reception. Sometimes you turn your headlights on, that gives you a little reception. And so it got worse and worse. And I got from that radio tower, and pretty soon I got towards Olympia, and I couldn't hardly hear the game at all. You ever have your radio really, really, you know, and you hear the voice in the background? And I just kept on going and kept on going, getting worse. Eventually, I couldn't hear the game, except for once I got close to the Portland, headed on their station. And I think that hearing from the Lord, a lot of that is close to the tower that's forth the radio signal. Not let anything get between you and the Lord. I know when I go to the mountains, the same thing. There's one spot I'm listening to the radio as I'm going out in the mountains. It's not that far before Greenwater, Highway 410. And I go around behind a mountain, and that mountain is between me and wherever those radio towers are. I guess some are in Seattle. And guess what happens? I can't hear until I go around that mountain again, and that's not something blocking the signal. I think that sin will block the signal of God speaking to you. I think that being sent from him. I think that you aren't close to the Lord in prayer and going to church, Bible study, and doing the things you ought to do all week long or all month long or all year long, then all of a sudden, you got to know what God has for you. You got to have God's wisdom. Well, you're a long way away. And you'll find out it's a lot easier if you just stay close to the signal, which is God. Remember, God had a still, small voice. And if you're not listening carefully, the still, small voice might be speaking, but you're far away to hear it. So if you stay close to God, I find those who stay close to the Lord, we have a missionary coming in on this coming Thursday. And you'll find out when you listen to people who call to God, they were close to the Lord and God called them and they heard the voice of God. It was easy. God was making it clear. And I think a long, long, long way from the radio tower, it's very difficult to hear the Lord. So stay close to him. That's the easiest way to hear the voice of God. All righty, we're going to be in Luke 6. I'm not on a new deck as far as a new series. I'm just going to teach you in Luke 16 just a... just one study, just some doctrine, basically, this morning. I want to teach you to, a couple of people asked me about this lately, just wanted to explain it. I haven't preached on it in a very long time. Understanding Hades, paradise, and Jesus in the grave. Basic understanding death before Christ is resurrected, and what the different places people go when they die are. And Luke chapter 6, I'll start at verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in fine linen and fared sumptuously away. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate with sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs from the rich man's table. More dogs came and licked his sores, and it came to pass the beggar died and was carried by the angels unto Abraham's bosom. The man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and see Abraham afar off, Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tipped finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham's son, remember, thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, so likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, that which would pass from us to you can they pass to us that would come from thence. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about today, what happened when people died before Christ, and let's pray. And Lord, your wisdom, Father, thank you in your word. It gives us guidance, such clear stories here, and such teaching, Lord. And I pray that as we look into your word. Pray that every one of us would, first of all, attentive minds and ears to hear, both just paying attention, but, Lord, spiritually, may we have ears receptive to your word. I pray that your word would speak and your word would be powerful unto us. And I pray that today we'd have a doctrine. I pray you cleanse me, use me, poor lisping, stammering tongue and use it, Father, to, Lord, speak wonderful words of life as great as possible as a human can, Lord. I pray Spirit to be speaking through me and give you this time and ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, we see a couple people who died here. We see a rich man, and very important biblically, somebody doesn't want to believe in hell. And this passage obviously teaches hell. It has the rich being in torments, and it has his tongue on fire. When someone doesn't teach that, one of the things that they will do, I'm say, well, that's a parable. Anybody who would say that is not familiar with Testament and with Jesus' parable. Jesus' parables are very clear. He would say the kingdom of heaven is like unto a woman who lost a coin. The kingdom is like unto a man who was friend at midnight and said, friend, lend me 3 loaves. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a man who sold all he had and bought a pearl of grace. The kingdom of heaven is like unto, and it, first of all, he says it's a figurative thing. It's like this. And then he tells a very general parable. This story is much different than that. He said there was a rich man and a man named Lazarus. He never gave a name parable ever. But this parable was. And he says there, obviously, verse 19, there was a certain rich man. Jesus said there was that person who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuous day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus who was laid at his gate for sores. The details are told different. The whole wording is much different. And he said it was an actual story where an actual man was named this and a man did this. And this actually happened. And in this story, there's a rich man, and he was very wealthy. There's a poor man who sat at his gate, hoped some crumbs, and he was full of sores, and he was... And the rich man just ate and didn't care about him, and the two come and lick the dog, this poor man, and then they died. I talked about that a lot lately. Is when you die, everything changes, and what you live for, what God does, how God rewards and how He rewards, makes things seem different, and changes all the perspectives. If you think you're gonna live for this world and have a great time, you might for 40 years, but then for 2 or 5 or 10 or 20 or 1,000 trillion years, you won't. And if you decide to live for Jesus, what costs, whatever the suffering, whatever you for Jesus is fine. And if you suffer, which by the way, you won't. You'll have a better life serving God. But if you did suffer, and some Christians, some parts of the world and in history, they will suffer persecution. We in America are blessed way, but we still have everything. No matter what they go through, whether they're martyr thing, they still have the abundant life and the joy of God and everything else. However, for trillions and trillions of years, you get the joy. And in this story, we see that, obviously. Now, it names some places where they go, which is where I want to focus here. And verse 20 came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man died and was buried. Now, very first thing you realize, and we'll get to the bodies, but they both were in the grave. If you went to the grave of a person, if you went to, D.L. Moody's grave, you would find D.L. Moody's body there. And if you went to, say, Lenin's body is being to try to preserve his body. Let's go, you went to Stalin's cave. Stalin, I believe, is in hell. But you'll find Stalin's body still in the cave. And angels carried away Lazarus' soul and took it to a place that says it's called Abraham's bosom. And the rich man was buried. And verse 20 says, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. And there's two places here. There's Abraham's bosom. And there is hell. Now, the word for the place in the Bible, there's two words for the departed dead, and this is the word used here for hell, which is Hades, and then there's also the word Sheol. Two different words that we'll start with. There's one other word, but these words are the words for where people went when they died. It's a big, all-encompassing word, a grave. Okay? And it's the word that's used here, which is Hades, which means grave in Greek. And that's where it goes. It doesn't have the word right here. The Bible uses the word hell because it's a torment. When it's clear it's a place of torment, it's called hell. Now, this place of torment is just all over the Bible. It's described by Jesus very, very distinctly. Where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not cast into outer darkness. Revelation 19, Revelation 20 describes it very clearly, what it's like. I think it's Peter that describes it, chains of everlasting darkness, and it's described very clearly in the Bible. Hell is a place of eternal pain. It's a place of eternal darkness. It's a place of fire. It's a place of pain, and it's a place without forever, and it's all those things, and that's what it's called, the bottom of it, and many of the things. But at this time, he's in a place called hell, says, I'm tormenting these flames. He says, literally, my tongue, just get one drop and put it under my tongue, just because I'm tormented in these flames. He asks, he looks up, and one of the things that's interesting about this is Lazarus goes to a place, and it's called, and it's not heaven. That's very important. He was not in heaven. He was, it's called paradise, and Abe's bosom. It's called both those things. This is a good place where he is in bliss and joy and paradise. Paradise is a good place. By the way, heaven is better than paradise, biblically. And paradise, I wouldn't mind going to. But I get heaven, that's even better. And so that's how good, because paradise, almost understand. Heaven, we cannot understand. It's beyond human abilities to understand. But he goes to a place called paradise, and it's called Abraham's bosom. And Abraham is the one in charge. Abraham's bosom, they're not with God in heaven at this time. And Abraham spoke, and one of the things that's interesting about this hell. And then, by the way, this is a temporary hell. I'll show you that in the Bible. It's a temporary hell where people, their bodies don't go, but their souls go. Their bodies go with them later. They're gonna go physical hell for eternity. But right at this time, it's just their souls. And and so his soul is in hell. One of the tormenting things is he's looking up into paradise. He can see paradise. That is torment. It's torment to be burning, of course. All these things are bad. But he looks up and sees Lazarus up there in paradise. Imagine that, see and study in paradise, bliss, happiness, food, water, comfort. I don't know what paradise is like. Probably a very comfortable recliner and a little lake running by there so you can fish off your recliner. And I don't know what it's like. Angels giving you a foot massage. I don't know. And you're here in paradise, and the rich man looks up and says, Abraham, send Lazarus down to give me a drip of my tongue because I'm tormenting these flames. And Abe says, no, there's a great gulf fixed between you and me. And how many of you are going to volunteer to go down to a place of burning on fire? He says, no. He says, there's a great gulf, a great chasm, great gap between you and I, and nobody can pass in between. You know what's great about heaven? And we get to, it's the same situation where once you're going to be in heaven forever, and you're never going to lose it in heaven, God. And in hell, once you're in hell, you're there for eternity. Somebody thinks they'll die, and then they repent and say, okay, I'm sorry, I'm in hell. It's too late then. There's no passing in between. You're done. And it's your choice. And he says, do that. So let me just show you things about this. Hades and Sheol, place of the departed dead. A different word is used. But this is temporary hell for the soul. That hell eventually turns physical, and literally you get a physical body that is tormented in hell forever. And that place is a different place. It's called Gehenna in the Greek. It's a totally different Greek word. When he first, the eternal place, people will burn forever in their physical bodies. Their bodies will be reunited with their souls, burn, they'll be cast physically into hell. When that happens, that is a different Greek word is now used. It's a Gehenna. And turn to Revelation 19. I'll show that to you, but we'll go back to 16. Revelation 19. And isn't it great that we don't have to go through all this and don't have to go because Jesus paid it all? It's a wonderful thing to go to heaven because of Jesus, because he died again. And we're trusting him as our Savior. It's wonderful that God died for everybody who wants to be. Verse 20, Revelation 19, and the beast was take him, and the prophet that wrought miracles before him, which had with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and then that worshipped his image, both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Cast alive. And when it begins in Revelation 19 and 20, it switches the word from Hades to Gehenna because this is a fickle place. It says literally, an angel came and brought a key and opened up a bottomless pit and took it and opened it and threw the devil, the false prophet, all into a place. They actually were there physically. And we see also, if we go to chapter 20, and verse 10, it says, and the devil that deceived them cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Gehenna means eternal place of torment. Now, some cults will say, well, there's a place, a dump, basically, outside of Jerusalem that burned, and they named that place Gehenna. Yes, they did, and that they named after the place of hell. It was where they burnt it. And it was long after the Bible word is used, and they named it after hell because it was a terrible place. Verse 14, and death and hell, this is fascinating, notice the word in here, and death and hell, that word is Hades, were cast into the lake of fire, Gehenna. This is a second. And whosoever is not found in the book of was cast into the lake of fire. Notice hell was cast into the lake of fire. Did you notice the word in there? Because Hades is going to actually all the place of the departed dead and all that represents death is thrown into hell forever and disappears and is sealed up and then it's just dies for those who are saved at that time. And that's what happened. Let me just give you a few points and explain this. Why? First of all, Lazarus was not in heaven. He was with saints, a place called Abraham's bosom. Let's go back to Luke 16. Very simply, nobody could go to heaven yet. Why is that, sir? Well, it's real simple. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Nobody was going to get to heaven because everybody's a sinner and everybody had sin. That sin had to be completely removed. And those who were going to be in Abraham's bosom were those who believed on the coming Messiah, who was a sufferer. They believed through the sacrifices and by faith, Abraham got righteousness. They weren't going to be able to go to heaven. Nobody could. They were all still fallen creatures. And the sacrifice for their sins was not made yet. And that's why Jesus said, no man comes to the Father but by me. The temporary place waiting. Jesus was died, was buried, rose again, went to the Father, presented his blood. And as we just sang, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There's a fountain of the blood. And just like on earth, the blood was sprinkled as a sacrifice in the Holy of Holies. His blood was sprinkled in heaven. And says it washes away the sins of the redeemed. Until it happened, nobody could go to heaven. Jesus said that couldn't happen. Jesus, in just a minute, had to go to them and preach the gospel to them who were in Abraham's bosom so they could go up to heaven and explain to this happened, what you were believing on, and explain all to them. He was not in heaven. For example, a thief on the cross is right next to Jesus, and he said, before the day ends, you'll be with me in paradise. But he didn't always use the word heaven. He said, those of you who persecute righteousness, great is your reward in heaven. But the thief on the cross, he said, you'll be with me this day in paradise. Why? Because Jesus wasn't resurrected. And the blood was not presented to the Father. And the thief on the cross couldn't go to heaven yet. He could only go to Paris. But he says, I'll meet you there because I'm going to go into Paris. And I'm going to be preaching the gospel to those in paradise. And then they will go with me to heaven at that point. Some of them physically, we'll see in a second, some of them, just most of them, spiritually. And at the rapture, their bodies meet up with their soul, and then they have their glorified body for eternity. But right now, those who are in heaven, by the way, except for a select few, we'll read about in Matthew 27, a select few, a whole bunch of them are in heaven with just a soul, not a body. They'll get a glorified body later and when the rapture happens. Thief in the cross, he's in Luke 23, verse 43. Before this day ends, you'll be with me in paradise. But then you have all kinds of promises. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. John 14, 1 through 3. 1 Peter 1, 4. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, which fadeth not away, reserved heaven for you. Matthew 5, 10. Great is your reward in heaven. Every believer will eventually get heaven. All those in the Testament will eventually get to heaven, and we who right now go straight to heaven, absent from the body, with the Lord. Why? Because Jesus is resurrected. He's already died for our sins. Now we can come unto the Father, but by Him, and we can all go to heaven now. And that's first of all, Lazarus is not in heaven, just like the thief on the cross was not in heaven, just like the saints of the Old Testament. They were in Abraham's bosom. You look in verse 23, and in hell, his eyes being in torment, seeth Abraham far off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he put his finger in water in my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, so likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Beside all this, between you and you, there is a great gulf fixed, that they which would pass from thence to cannot, neither can they pass from thence. And Selene says, tell my family then so how they can be saved so they don't have to care. Number two, Lazarus was not in heaven. Number two, rich man was in Hades, not Gehenna. He was in Hades, not Gehenna. Let me just get a few verses to talk about the work completed. Let's go to Matthew 5. And And verse 29, it says, "And if thy right offend thee, pluck it out for and cast from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy body should be cast into hell." Your whole head cast into hell? Body. "And if thy right hand offend thee, pluck it off and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and thy whole body should be cast in hell." Look at Matthew chapter 10. Heaven and hell are a physical place. Them are. And they're literally places. I go to prepare a place for Jesus said. Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which destroy both soul and body in hell." Clear? Your soul and body go to hell. Jehovah's Witnesses will tell you there's no such thing as soul. You just have a body and it has a process to it, except for this was a terrible verse for them. "Fear not him which is able to destroy body, but him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell." By the way, notice a body, soul, and spirit. There is no spirit in hell. The spirit is dead, so it must be born again. The Bible says, "Came and I died." Adam and Eve, God told Adam and Eve, "The day you eat the fruit, you'll die." They didn't die that day. Their spirit died. Romans 6 says that, this died. And so your spirit dies, and when you're born again, you get a spirit now. The spirit is what fellowship God. Your body is your physical, your soul is your emotion, your will, you're talking to people. Your spirit is that which fellowships with God. If you're never saved and you go to hell, you don't have spirit to burn in hell. And you have a body and a soul. That's why an unsaved person is a two-part creature, a saved person is a part creature. If any man be in Christ, a new creature. Old things are passed away, things become new. You became a three-part creature. And by the way, that's why if you have a relationship, that's why you're not supposed to be unequally with unbelievers, because you can only have a 66% relationship at best. If you have a perfect physical relationship and a perfect emotional relationship, you're still only at 66%. You have no relationship. That's why you're unequally yoked together. That's the best you can do is 66%. Everything's perfect. And if you're spiritual, you can have a very, very close relationship because your spirits and bear witness with their spirits and you're that. So that was not done. Go to Revelation chapter 20. The rich man was Hades, not Gehenna, but he will be in Gehenna someday. Hades, by the way, we're still in Hades. There is no, the point where Jesus was resurrected, we'll show you that in a little bit, and where other people went up to heaven, that was already done. But in hell, they're still in Hades. They're not in Gehenna yet. They're not to that point. That'll happen in Revelation 20, where we're going to read in just a second. Revelation chapter 20, 11. "And I saw a great white throne." This is after the 1,000 years, after it's finished. "And him that sat, from whose faith the earth and heaven fled away, there was no place found for them. And I said, the dead, both small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were according to those things which are written in the books. God looked for their name in the book of life to see if they're going to heaven. Their name wasn't in the book of life. God opened the books, which was their deeds, and that there was plural books. God looked and he saw their deeds. Their deeds were perfect. They had one sin in their record. That's all they needed. And then they are lost and going to hell because they weren't saved and their names were of life. And verse 12, and the dead judge out of those things which are written in the books, plural. That's the book of our deeds according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell." Notice that. "The sea of the dead which are in it, and death and hell the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to works." All the bodies at this point are brought out. And the body and soul tormented in hell. What happens is God says, here you get an eternal body to go with your soul. You're judged according to your works. Here is where you're going to go. And your body, soul, you're given a body. And the Bible says, given everlasting destruction. God gives you a body that cannot die. And you'll be torn in hell. You'll be literally attacked by creatures. You'll be in darkness. You'll be in flame. But your body won't die. And it becomes physical. And all graves give up the bodies. All bodies, no matter where they are, gathered together and resurrected. And verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is a second death. And whosoever is not in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire, into Gehenna forever. And their body has to be reunited with them. And that happens. Next, our bodies will go with us into eternity. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Our bodies united with us and put in, and we, but praise God, our bodies here get renewed and get perfected. I'm glad my body's not going into eternity. Don't get me wrong, I'm happy enough, it's enough, and I praise God for every bit of health I have. But you know, I wouldn't mind a brand new model that'd never get old. there's a few things that need repaired and up on this thing. And in eternity, your old body traded in for a new body, and it's called incorruptible. That means it cannot be corrupted or hurt bad or get old or anything like that, which is good news. Just a 1 Corinthians 10, the whole chapter will tell you this, but let me just pick this out. Verse 35. It says, but some will say, how are dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowing is planting, is not quickened except it die. That's talking about your body. Is planted in the ground. When you die, you're buried 6 feet under. The Bible calls it a planting. You're sowing your body. And your body gets planted in the ground like a seed. And resurrection, it comes back glorious. And just one thing I want to say here. In the Bible, your body, it was your seed for eternity, and it was very sacred. The thing in the world is Joseph, when he died, says, do not let my body be buried in Egypt. I want it buried in Canaan land. He had to carry his body around in a casket for 400 years until he got him back to the Canaan land. He said, my body's important. I want it buried here. That's why I don't believe in cremation. Your body, you might say, a bunch of dust. No, it's a seed that's planted in the ground. What is cremated? I don't fight people over this. And he says, I mean, I've done funerals of people who are cremated. Fine. But I don't think it's treating understanding that. That's a seed, and it's sacred. And God can find little particles and do everything. I don't know. Does it? People who are put in the ocean or and their bodies dropped into the sea and the casket disappears and the fish eat it and it's all over. I don't know how God does it all. It's just God can do whatever he wants to, and he's gonna wreck the bodies. But your body is supposed to be destroyed. It's supposed to be seed planted in the ground. And if you have a choice in that, you should let it be buried. I hope we don't have to worry about that. I hope Jesus comes back before we die. But that's what it is. In verse 36, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not going to accept it die. And a seed dies, how it grows. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, that it may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth body that pleased him, every seed to his own body. Down to verse, 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown, it is planted in corruption, a dead body. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in honor, it is raised in glory. It is weakness, it is raised in power. It is natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. So it is written, the first Adam was made a living soul, and the second Adam made a quickening spirit. And of course, again, the whole chapter teaches this. 1. Behold, the sorcery shall not all sleep. That means die in the Bible. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and shall be changed. The Bible says we shall be like them, and we are changed. For this corruptible, your old corruptible body, must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying which is, death is swallowed up in victory. In other words, this body will be planted someday, whether at the rapture it's taken up and dies. I believe you get in the rapture as you're going up. Of course, go up that quickly. In the twinkling of an eye in the sky, you would die from the reaction of your going up that quickly. You will die in the air. And those of us who are raptured, you will get a new body right in the air. Those of you who die before the rapture, and those who all the same died, their bodies in the ground. But 1 Thessalonians, it tells very specifically that actually the exact order is the rapture happens, and their bodies go up before we go up. All of a sudden, it'll be a strange thing, but you're flying up in the air. Up above you will be flying the bodies of all the saints who've lived ages. And their bodies will be getting changed, or will be meeting their soul and getting their new bodies, trading their old bodies. 1 Thessalonians 4. Verse 13. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. 4:13. I would not have you ignorant to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that means dead, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so much sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Notice that. It's the rapture passage. When Jesus comes at the rapture, he brings those who have been saved, Moses and Elijah. Some of them already went up in a chariot of fire. But he'll go and he'll bring Isaiah and Jeremiah. They'll be coming back. And why? Because their bodies are going to meet them up there. And they'll get their new body. And they're just a soul right now up there. So will God, those that sleep in Jesus, saved, will God bring with him. For if we say unto you by the word of the Lord that we are alive and remain under the coming of the Lord, will not prevent, that means proceed, go before, will not prevent them which are asleep, the ones who have already died in Christ. For the Lord himself shall descend unto the shout, the voice of the archangel of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so we'll be with the Lord. So, whenever the rapture ends, the bodies of the saints will be up there. They'll meet their bodies, and get his body. He's right now his soul up there. He'll be taken up instantly, die, get a new body. And the body will be physical. We'll be like Jesus, the Bible says. Jesus ate with the disciples after he's resurrected. Jesus ate food. That he said, reach hither your finger in my side, your finger in my hands. I'm physical. I'm not. A ghost does not have flesh, blood, as I do. Or flesh and bones, as I do. And Jesus said, I am physical. And we'll be able to eat. The Bible talks about the miracle of the lamb. We eat up there. The Bible talks to Revelation 2 and 3. That we'll actually eat of the tree of life and other things we'll eat in him. And we get physical things. Heaven is physical. There are streets literally made of gold. There's literally mansions. It is a physical place. And we will get a new body. The body will be like Jesus. It'll be unable to ever die. We hear and disappear what we want to do. We can do whatever we want to do. And we will not be fallen. And then... last of all, let me take you to 1 Peter 3. I'm going fast, so I go through this. Are you all with me? You follow everything I said here? Good. 1 Peter 3. So, Jesus died. And here's all these people in Abraham's bosom. Here's Lazarus. And here's all these people, Abraham and David and whoever else there in Abraham's bosom. And they do not know the whole gospel yet. They knew about lambs to be sacrificed and all the pictures in the Old Testament. But they believed that God had provided for him sacrifice. And then all of a sudden, here in Abraham's bosom appears Jesus. And he preaches to them. Verse 18 of 1 Peter 3. It says, for Christ has also suffered once sins, the just, the unjust, that he might to God, being put to death in this, but quickened, made alive, resurrected by the Spirit. By which also he went... by the Spirit, he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Interesting there. We believe Jesus, part of the things he did is he went, why? Because no man comes to the Father by me. And he went down into Abraham's bosom and said, hi guys, I am the one you've been wondering about. And let me just tell you, when I just died, in a minute I'm going to be raised back again, and then you and I are going to go up to heaven. You're going to be up with God. And they said, wow, this is awesome. They had already believed, so they already see. And of course, they were in paradise and had the devil there to tempt them. And they, of course, leave. I mean, one more passage. Let me take it to Matthew 7. I was going to go there a minute ago, but finish up with this. In the resurrection, there's three parts to the resurrection. There's the fruits, there's the main harvest, then there's the means. And we believe the fruits was Jesus and the very first crop, Jesus and some saints he brought back. And some saints, their bodies early. And Jesus, Matthew 27 and verse 52. It says, and the graves which were open, any bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after resurrection and went to the holy city and appeared to any. Okay? That was Jesus physically was raised at his body is physically in heaven. Okay? Many of the saints, it says, we don't know how many, but many of the saints there came out of the grave. Their bodies went to heaven. And that was a sample, a sampling and a harvest. You take the first fruits and that you take them to the people you're going to sell them and say, this is what the first fruits are going to be. This is the crop. And you set a price for it. Jesus with his the saints came as the first fruits of the resurrection. And it says in 1 Corinthians 15 that they went, and this is the first resurrection. And they went up to heaven with their physical bodies. And so some were up there physically, some spiritually. By the way, the ones who were there, they are still in full of joy in paradise. They're still in happiness. But we will get our bodies eventually. And so that's what Hades is. It still is. It'll eventually, as we be thrown into hell, with our loss. I'm just glad I'm on the right team. I'm just glad I'm going to get a new body, be in heaven forever and with God. And if you're not sure of that today, let me tell you, make sure of it. That rapture could happen any time, and you could die at any time. And you want to make sure that you're ready, and you're going to go to the right place, heaven, where God wants you to go. And we want to go. Let's pray together. Father, thank you, Lord, for this to teach your word. And I pray today in the short time we're able to understand this lesson and understand Hades and Gehenna and eternal hell and for hell and Abraham's bosom and the resurrection, all these things, Father. I pray that we understand what your word teaches and understand how great it is to be a saved Christian. Lord, thank you for the chance to be a Christian. Thank you for letting Jesus die for us and be raised again. Thank you, death has no sting more, Father. We praise you for that.